Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going to be looking at some pretty interesting stuff from the Book of Proverbs.
Ooh, Proverbs.
Yeah, but not the usual stuff you hear about.
Okay.
We're going to Proverbs 30.1-17. It's like this section people call the appendix. And get this, there's this mysterious figure, Ar, son of Yahweh. Nobody really knows for sure who he was.
Really?
Some knew he was a king. Some think he was just a super wise person. And then some even say he's just a symbolic figure, like representing someone who's trying to figure out life's big questions about like wisdom and stuff.
I see. So, like, he's like every man.
Yeah, kind of.
So, what's so special about this Augur guy?
Well, the way he introduces himself is like really interesting, almost like he's kind of tired, He even compares himself to an animal.
Oh, wow. Like, he's just beat down by trying to understand everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that sets the tone for the whole passage. It's like he's overwhelmed by trying to like grasp the meaning of it all.
I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling, even today.
Oh, for sure. Feeling lost in like all the complexities of life. Yeah, that's definitely something we all experience.
Absolutely. And it's interesting how this theme of like human limitations pops up over and over again. You see it in religious texts, philosophical writings, from ancient times all the way to modern stuff.
You're right, it's everywhere.
Think about like the Book of Ecclesiastes. It talks all about the meaning of life and how everything is like fleeting.
Or job.
Right. Job's a great example. He like straight up challenges God about suffering. And in the end, he realizes that there are limits to what humans can know.
It seems like even the wisest people, they struggle with doubt and uncertainty. It's a pretty human thing.
It really is.
But here's the thing with Augur. He doesn't just stay stuck in that feeling of like despair. He actually turns towards what some call revealed truth.
Revealed truth.
Yeah, like the idea that there's this source of wisdom that's beyond our limited human understanding. What do you think about that?
It's like he's acknowledging that we need some kind of guidance. Like we can't always just rely on our own smarts.
That makes sense.
It reminds me of what Moses said in Deuteronomy 30. He presents the Torah as accessible truth. Like it's not some big secret.
So it's not about going on some mystical quest.
Exactly. It's about being open to learning and like accepting wisdom from a source outside ourselves. And then there's that part where Urger prays.
Right, his prayer.
He asks for neither poverty nor wealth. He wants balance in life. That really resonates with a lot of what we hear today, all this talk about mindfulness and contentment.
Yeah, it's a pretty big concept these days, finding that balance. What do you think about it?
Well, it points to like this basic human need for moderation. It's a reminder that just having a ton of stuff won't really make you happy. Remember that Psalm, Psalm 73?
What about it?
The writer's all jealous of these wicked people who seem to have it all, but then he realizes that all their wealth doesn't actually bring them real joy.
Classic case of money can't buy happiness. But then Proverbs 30 goes on to list all these people who are not blessed, and some of those actions, they're pretty intense.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like straight up condemnation, disrespecting servants, having contempt for your parents, being arrogant and self-righteous. It's like
Wow.
a list of all the bad stuff that can lead to like spiritual poverty. But I think the worst one, the one they really hammer on, is greed. That we can compare it to a wild animal that just like devours and destroys.
Oh, yeah. And then there's that super vivid image of the leech, always sucking, always wanting more.
Right. It's a powerful metaphor for how insatiable greed can be. And then we'll go on to list things that never say enough, like Sheol, the grave,
Oh, right. Always hungry for more.
and fire, always burning and consuming, even barrenness, that deep longing that can never be filled.
That one really hit me. It's like it speaks to that universal experience of loss, of wanting something you can't have.
It does. It makes you think about all the different ways those desires can manifest. And how they can drive people to do some pretty bad things, like those kids in the passage who desire their parents' stuff.
Yeah.
It's a pretty stark reminder of how greed can take over and lead to actions that hurt others.
Really makes you think about how tricky it can be to figure out the difference between what we really need and just like wanting more.
It is, especially in today's world. There's so much pressure to buy stuff, to have the latest gadgets, to keep up with everyone else.
It's like we're constantly bombarded with messages telling us to consume, to acquire, to never be satisfied.
Exactly. It makes you wonder if we're even in control of our own desires anymore, or if they're being manipulated by all these external forces.
That's a big question.
It is, and it makes me think back to Augur's prayer for balance. It's like he was anticipating these challenges, and asking for guidance to navigate them. Like he knew how easy it is to get caught up in the endless cycle of wanting more. Makes you think about all those prayers, right? All that advertising, that focus on having stuff, that fear of missing out. It really does feed this whole cycle of always wanting more.
It does. And then those targeted ads, it's like they know what you're thinking about buying.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's clever, I guess, but it also makes you think about, well, is it ethical? You know, all this consumerism and what it does to us.
It's a really big question. Do we even control our desires anymore? Or are they being controlled by, I don't know, by all these things around us?
That's the question, isn't it? And it brings us back to Augur's prayer, that prayer for balance. It's almost like he saw this coming.
Right, like he knew all about these challenges we face and was asking for help to deal with them. Like he knew how easy it is to get sucked into wanting more and more.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, look, I know humans, we tend to overdo it, so please point me in the right direction, show me how to be wise, how to find that middle ground.
It's a pretty humbling thought to realize that we don't have all the answers, that we need help from something bigger than ourselves.
I think that's a key part of wisdom, being humble enough to admit what we don't know, and being open to learning from others.
Speaking of learning, there's this part in Proverbs 30 that really stood out to me. It talks about what happens when you don't respect your parents, and it uses some pretty strong imagery.
Oh yeah, it's intense. It talks about ravens pecking out the eyes of those who mock their father and scorn their mother. Back then, honoring your parents was super important, a core value for the Israelites.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Our relationship with our parents, it shapes us so much, right? For better or worse.
Absolutely. They're our first teachers. And how they treat us, it affects how we see ourselves, how we connect with others, pretty much our whole well-being.
It seems like that proverb, it's not just about obeying a rule, but more about the huge impact our family relationships have on us.
I think you're right. It's saying our actions have consequences, not just for us, but for those around us, especially our family. It's like a ripple effect.
So it's not just about gaining knowledge, but also about how our choices affect others, how they ripple out and touch the people we love.
Exactly. True wisdom involves being empathetic, being compassionate, understanding that we're all connected in this web of life, and that our actions affect each other.
As we dig deeper into Proverbs 30, I'm really struck by how relevant these teachings are. Even though they were written so long ago, Augur's words, they offer us a way to navigate the craziness of life, even today.
It's true. What he says about human nature, about seeking wisdom, about finding balance, it's all just as important now as it was back then.
So think about this as we continue. What are some of those leeches in your own life? You know, those things that always want more but never seem to satisfy. And how can you be content with what you have and avoid that trap of always wanting more? Makes you think about what we really value, doesn't it? You know, those stories we tell ourselves about what will make us happy.
It really does. And when you think about Augur's prayer, that prayer for balance, it's like he understood that real contentment, it doesn't come from just having more stuff.
Yeah, give me enough, but not too much. That's what it sounds like, right? There's some real wisdom in that.
Absolutely. It's about seeing the dangers on both sides. You know, too little, and you end up desperate, struggling just to get by. But too much, well, that could lead to greed and losing sight of what really matters.
It's like he's saying we're not always the best at figuring out what we need.
Right. It's like he's saying, I know myself. I know I can get carried away. So help me, guide me towards a path where I can be moderate, where I can be wise.
It's pretty humbling to admit that we don't have all the answers, that we need guidance from something bigger than ourselves.
I think that's a big part of what wisdom is, recognizing our limitations and being open to learning from others, from something beyond ourselves.
And, you know, speaking of learning from others, there's this line in Proverbs 30 that I found really interesting. It talks about what happens to people who disrespect their parents. Pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty vivid. Talked about ravens pecking out the eyes of people who mock their fathers and scorn their mothers. Honoring your parents was a huge deal back then in Israelite culture, a core value.
It makes you think our relationship with our parents, it's so powerful. It shapes us in so many ways, good and bad.
For sure. Our parents, they're usually our first teachers. How we treat us, it affects how we feel about ourselves, how we build relationships, how we see the world. It can have a lifelong impact.
It seems like that proverb, it's not just about following a rule. It's more about acknowledging the impact our family relationships have on us, on who we become.
That's a great point. It's like a reminder that our actions, they don't just affect us. They ripple outwards and touch the people around us, especially the ones closest to us.
So it's not just about learning stuff, but also about understanding how our choices, our actions, they have these consequences, these ripple effects that touch the lives of others.
Exactly. And that's a big part of true wisdom, isn't it? It's about cultivating empathy, being compassionate, realizing that we're all connected in this big web of life, that what we do affects each other. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Proverbs 30, I'm really struck by how timeless these teachings are, Augur's words, they still speak to us today. They offer real insights for navigating the complexities of life, even thousands of years later.
His insights into human nature, the search for wisdom, and the importance of balance, they're just as relevant now as they were back then. It's amazing how some things never change, right?
It really is, and it makes you realize we're all part of this long human story, facing similar challenges, searching for meaning and wisdom. And these ancient texts, they offer us guidance, they offer us hope.
Absolutely. So as we leave you today, we want you to think about this. What are some of those leeches in your own life, those things that always seem to want more but never quite satisfy? And how can you cultivate contentment, find that balance, and avoid getting trapped in that cycle of endless wanting? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Proverbs 30. It's been a great conversation. Omi.